plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. I'll be
the University of Illinois Ripcords, and the soloist was the show's unofficial music director, my daughter Amanda, who I'm sure is listening and now is turning red, but a very beautiful rendition. We're going to be playing some of the music from just a few years ago when she was one of the leaders of the preeminent women's a cappella group there at the University of Illinois. But right now, joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is my good friend and colleague, Kim Geiger. And Kim is part of the political team at the Chicago Tribune, covering state government out of the Thompson Center. Glad to get you out of the Thompson Center and over here.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Although, I guess both buildings are technically for sale, so.
That's right. Yes, they are.
You got your Christmas shopping done?
I'm waiting until the last minute on that.
Why?
I have an enormous family, and I have a number of nieces and nephews, so I like to wait till I get home, figure out what they all want, and then go out and do it.
Or I figure you just learn procrastination because you're covering state government.
Well, I'm a journalist, so I know how to procrastinate.
Well, there's also deadlines, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Yeah, but this one's like a week away still.
Oh, plenty of time. Great. Okay, I won't count on anything from you. We had another of those, quote, big meetings this past week of the governor and legislative leaders with no real progress, despite the fact that everybody comes out of these meetings and says there was progress made, but there's nothing to show for it. But this meeting was different. This meeting lacked one of the main players on the stage.
Yes.
House Speaker Michael Madigan.
Yep, he did not show up.
And there was no explanation given. I know a daughter had a child, and that might have been the issue or whatever, but mm-hmm. there was no explanation or contact. Apparently, I think that's what the governor said.
The governor said that he was told a day or two before that the speaker wasn't going to make it, but that there was no explanation given. And then when I asked the speaker's spokesman, he just said that there was a scheduling conflict and that it had come up.
This lack of urgency that we see, and you know, so many times on the show we've talked about what could be pressure points to have to force some action. And you know, it's at one point I said my big fear is that it would take almost something like the I-35 bridge collapse in Minneapolis, a tragedy,
right,
to really make people move. But it just seems very lackadaisical.
Yeah, well, so you had a situation where the budget year began July 1st, and pretty quickly a lot of big items were taken care of. The governor went to court and got state workers to be paid. He signed a funding bill for K-12 education, so schools were still opening. And then there's a number of people who rely on money from the state who actually have existing court orders that say that the state is obligated to pay for their services. And those people went to court and said, hey, just because you guys are having a political fight in Springfield doesn't mean you're not still obligated to pay for the stuff
under those court orders.
Under those court orders, yeah. So a lot of those court orders freed up a lot more money, and so now you have a situation where there's really only a few kind of corners of state government that are not funded. The biggest one is colleges and universities, and you had a situation in the fall where, you know, that was around the time when this impasse was kind of ramping up and people weren't really sure how long it was going to last. But you've got one of the things that's not funded is like tuition grants for low income students.
Monetary assistance.
Yeah.
Monetary assistance program.
Yeah. And but so back in the fall, it was unclear when this whole thing was going to be resolved. And you had colleges and universities saying, hey, you know, we don't know when this is going to happen, but for now, we'll sort of front those grants and not charge students the tuition that they would be paying with that grant money. And then we'll just use the money when we get it. Now you have a situation where since we're going now into the spring semester, you've got some colleges saying like, hey, we just don't have the money to front for a second semester of this. And then you have others saying, you know, we will put this forward for you, but there's the possibility that you might have to actually pay it back if the state never has a budget, which we're 6 months through, we're halfway through the budget year.
And this is really, now we talk a lot about the public university part of the mm-hmm. MAP grants, but this also affects private schools
yes.
as well.
Yes, it affects private schools as well. And then on top of that, you have the public universities and colleges that are not getting the assistance that they would be getting.
They're not getting any state money
yeah.
at all.
Yeah, so they're it's a little worse for them because they rely on some dollars from the state and they're not getting any of that. And then on top of that, there's this scholarship issue.
And to me, I think when we're starting to hear this from the university presidents are starting to get more outspoken, sending letters to the governor and the four leaders. But it seems to me, especially at some of these smaller state universities, Western Illinois University, mm-hmm. Eastern Illinois mm-hmm. University, they don't have the endowments
no.
that, say, a U of I does
right.
or even SIU might have. And that you know, there are some real serious questions about the fate of those schools.
Yes, yes. However, the governor was asked on Friday about the funding for higher education. He went to a public-private partnership high school program up at DeVry in Chicago on Friday and was talking about how, you know, he's big on education and he thinks that education should be better funded in the state. And he was asked about, you know, this budget impasse is creating this problem for higher education, and you know, is there any consideration of maybe like creating some funding stream for that? And he said, you know, we can't get ourselves into a deficit one bill at a time. So it doesn't look like there's any.
But we're just doing it by one court order at
exactly.
a time.
Exactly. And the thing is, this is one area where they don't have the argument that a lot of others have had about, you know, you're obligated to spend this money.
Well, and if you remember back in the campaign, too, that the governor was not speaking always highly about the public higher
no.
education system.
No.
And how he believed it needed some serious changes, that there was too much bureaucracy
yes.
in it. There was not enough money going into classrooms. You know, then you bring up, tenure issues
mm-hmm.
and union issues on top of it. And his decision to kind of pick elementary and secondary education versus the universities under the guise that he supports education was kind of an interesting, you know, bifurcation of the issue here.
Yes, and it also was allowed him to buy some time, right? Because if the state stops sending money to K-12 schools at the beginning of the school year, that could create like a huge catastrophe. Whereas by not funding the higher education institutions, a lot of them do have endowments. They have a little bit more room to move and can kind of make it work.
Or it forces them to restructure
Yes,
in
there's that
ways
as well.
he'd like to see happen.
Yes.
We're speaking with Kim Geiger, a member of the political team covering state government at the Thompson Center. She is my colleague at the Chicago Tribune. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
Once again, a thank you to the University of Illinois Ripcords for their great a cappella Christmas that we're having here on this final Sunday before Christmas. Rick Pearson here on the Sunday Spin here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by my Tribune colleague Kim Geiger. And Kim, when you talked to the governor late last week, did he indicate, like, is there another meeting going to be held anytime soon? Does he look like this is wearing it all on him at all as a first-term governor?
Not really, but he says he's very frustrated. He says that he didn't expect this to take as long, and he feels like, I think the way he put it was that change happens in Illinois at a glacial pace. About the meetings.
Doesn't he know about climate change? No, but, I mean, it's... I would imagine, though, without Madigan in the room, they might have covered a few more.
Oh, yeah.
Topics.
They were in there for an hour and 40 minutes. It was definitely the longest. This is the third meeting that they've had this month. They went like 5-6 months without meeting all five of them in the same room. And then some good government groups basically said, this is crazy. You guys need to sit down and talk. And
that's when they had the televised talking point session in Springfield.
Yes.
That was never going to accomplish anything except everybody got their commercial in.
Exactly. So they did that earlier in the month, and then they had another one, and then this was the third. And like you said, the speaker did not show up for that. And so there was four instead of five, but they were in there for a really long time. Apparently they talked about all of the items on the governor's turnaround agenda, but you know, without Speaker Madigan there, what can you really do?
Right. It would be impossible to advance anything without his imprimatur. And that of course has been leading to this question of, you know, everybody's saying, how much longer can this go on?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you've got people like former House Republican leader Tom Cross, when I was out at Aurora University recently, and he speculated that this could go till after the November election, after the general election.
Yeah.
When you have a lame duck legislature at that point.
It's true. And, you know, the interesting thing is now we're going into January, which would typically be when you would start thinking about a budget for the upcoming budget year.
The presentation in February.
Yeah, exactly. The governor's going to need to give a budget speech in February, and it's very possible that that speech is going to occur without there being a budget for the year that we are currently in.
And indeed, people are talking about his budget staff is working to put together a fiscal year 17 budget plan.
Right.
While we don't even know what the outcome of this is going to be.
Yes.
And, I mean, one thing is evident, though. The longer we go in this mess, the harder the decisions are going to be.
Right.
Be it the amount of tax that has to be raised and the amount of cuts in spending that will have to be done.
Right.
I mean, it becomes kind of a multiplier effect the longer we go.
Yes. And yes. Particularly because we're spending at a rate that was set when there was a higher income tax rate.
And that was that's the one that phased down, in January of this year.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we're looking at outpacing spending by anywhere from, four to six billion dollars with no answer for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you throw in the Chicago issues.
Yes.
You've got $480 million in relief or cash for the public schools. You've got issues involving mass transit. You've got the city needing some pension relief for police and fire pensions.
Yeah.
And they're nowhere. I mean, it's kind of you kind of wonder about counting on Springfield to do something to help money-wise when Springfield can't do anything on its own for the state money-wise.
Well, and the governor has said that he thinks that the financial needs of Chicago will be the pressure point that kind of gets a deal going. But he also has called on the mayor to get Democrats in Springfield to pressure the Democrats in Springfield to go along with the governor's agenda that he wants. So this all ties back to that legislative agenda that the Democrats are opposed to. And there's no sign, at least right now, that the mayor is.
Well, Emanuel said he does not support the union weakening provisions of the governor's agenda.
Right.
And then, you know, in light of recent events, it's not exactly that you have Rahm Emanuel coming from a strong point of governance going on in this
city. Exactly. There's no sign that he's going to be able to go in and help Rauner get the votes, even if he wanted to. So that path, it's not clear to me how that path gets us to a budget. But the governor has said that he thinks that there's going to be this Chicago's financial system is going to create sort of
the impetus.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, everybody is kind of waiting to see, particularly on the schools, because everybody points to after the first of the year and whether these financial pressures result in school closings or in massive teacher layoffs. And you have the Chicago Public Schools trying to cut a deal with the CTU to avoid a strike and bargaining issues there. And I mean, at some point, this is all going to come to a head. And But I can very well see, as you well know from going down to Springfield and seeing the legislature, there's a lot of legislators that it's, well, that's Chicago's problem.
Yes,
Particularly the downstate legislators. And then you have the issue of the Barbara Bird Bennett contract, which, you know, and the fraud that was committed there, which is only a further exacerbation of the ability of these downstate lawmakers to say, well, until they clean up their act.
Right.
And there's no shortage of Chicago bashers when it comes to the Illinois General Assembly.
No, there's not.
It's great times, I'll tell you, and never a dull moment. Kim Geiger from our political team covering state government, thank you for coming into the Allstate Showcase studio this
Thanks
morning.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.